Welcome to another MyTunes podcast. If that doesn't bring back memories of the sky at night, I don't know what will. We're going to stare at the heavens in this podcast as we have a very special guest who knows an awful lot about the cosmos.
Mark Tiley, the nation station, Men's Radio.
Another week of MyTunes on Manx Radio with me, Mark Tiley. And I've had a look at the choices. They are superb. Now, normally, my guest is in this building late at night. Looking at the stars, please welcome, in the daytime, Howard Parkin.
Thank you very much for that introduction, Mark.
No,
it's a pleasure to be here.
In the daytime. Let's go back to when we were both young lads and America versus Russia. Indeed. In the space race. That was some era, wasn't it?
Wasn't it just? And as a child, probably in my most influential years, I was born in 53, so around 1961, I remember my first vivid memory of a space age was my mother. We were out playing football in the road where I lived in Liverpool, and my mother came in and said, "Boys, boys, come on in. I want you to see this very brave man."
Yeah.
Didn't know anything about it. And it was Yuri Gagarin marching through the streets of Moscow.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, he's been into space.
Yeah.
Wow. And that just blew me away. I would have been 8 then, and it just completely mesmerised me. And then, of course, Kennedy's speech a few months later, then Alan Shepard going into space with, "What a beautiful ride, A-OK, everything is A-OK," all that stuff. So right through the 60s, I was besotted, I suppose is the word, with the space race, and it stuck with me, I'm afraid.
And then the moon landing.
The moon landing in 1969. I was actually in the Isle of Wight for that, and I insisted. We went on holiday with my mother and father, and we went to the Isle of Wight, and I insisted we hired a TV. And we hired a TV, and I remember getting up 2 o'clock in the morning, watching them taking the steps down the ladder. Mesmerising stuff. But then, you know, it sort of faded after the moon landing. It faded. I remember the Apollo fruit about Apollo 15, and then I forgot about it.
Yeah.
Until many years later, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, it was extraordinary how people got blasé about landing on the moon.
I know, it's still incredible that they just got, they had no ratings at all. The people just fed up, "Oh, we've been there, done that." And yet the risk, I mean, the ingenuity and the bravery of those people to do that, just awe-inspiring.
The cosmos, looking out at night, especially on this amazing island on a good night here.
Absolutely.
It is mind-blowing to most of us, I think, to think, well, it just seems to go on forever.
It does. And, you know, I said this on Judith's show only the other night. People often say how beautiful the island is, and we look at the hills and we look at the scenery and we look at it, it's marvellous and we love it. But I bet most people can't name all the hills and mountains or glens.
Mm.
And we just enjoy the view. And it's the same with the stars and the heavens. You don't need to know that's Cassiopeia or the Plough or the star Bellatrix or whatever. Just enjoy it. And on a really dark night, there's nothing like it. It's incredible. Just lie there and look at the sky and just wonder about our place in the universe and all the rest.
There are some nights when you can actually see the Milky Way, aren't there?
Oh, very much so.
You can see that whole band.
Oh, absolutely. And one of my famous stories, I've said this and I'll no doubt tell people again, we were at the top of Snaefell doing the Pie in the Sky a few years ago. And it was a beautiful, one of the few really good clear nights. No moon, really fantastically clear night. And we went outside doing the stargazing. I've got my green laser pointing out the different features in the night sky. And this woman said, "What a shame about that cloud going across." And I said, "My dear, that's the Milky Way.
Whoa.
It's not a cloud."
It does look, if you,
it
you
does.
Know, you can think of it as a cloud of stars.
Absolutely.
It wasn't initially something you were doing as much as now,
no,
is it?
It faded when I was a child.
Yeah.
When I got to my late teenage years, my interest waned, like everyone else's, and I didn't pick it back up again. It's about 1985.
When did you get your first telescope?
My parents bought me my first telescope in 1966. It was a Charles Frank 4-inch reflecting telescope.
Yeah.
So I've still got it. But the mirror got smashed not long ago when I was looking at a transit of Venus. Not Venus, it was Mercury, actually.
Gone. The mirror's gone.
It's still usable. You can still get enough light through it to get an image of the sun if you project the sun. So I haven't thrown it away, but it was memorable because I remember getting it for Christmas and I was absolutely delighted. Yeah. 1966.
Talk us through your first musical choice, Howard.
Well, my first musical choice really isn't astronomically inspired at all, but as a youngster growing up, things were quite turbulent in those days, a bit like they are now, but for different reasons. And I did my O-levels and my A-levels in 1969 and 1971. And I suddenly came across an album, the first ever concept album, which would be a big debate for most people in music. But allegedly, the first ever concept album was the Moody Blues and Days of Future Past. And I bought that and I loved it. But I vividly recall buying the next album on the threshold of a dream on the day of an internment broke out in Northern Ireland in 1969.
Wow.
And unfortunately, that memory is still with me. But my first choice is got to be the Moody Blues' probably greatest ever track, Nights in White Satin.
Nights in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always miss with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, 'cause I love you. Some try to tell me thoughts they cannot defend. Just what you want to be, you will be in the end. And I'll
breathe deep the gathering gloom. Watch lights fade from every room. Bedsitter people look back and lament. Another day's useless energy spent. Impassioned lovers wrestle as one. Lonely man cries for love and has none. New mother picks up and settles her son. Senior citizens wish they were young. Cold-hearted orb that rules the night removes the colors from our sight. Red is gray and yellow white, but we decide which is right and which is an illusion.
My Tunes on Manx Radio, the morning show with me, Mark Tiley. Look to the stars. Who's that looking back? Howard Parkin. He's with us all this week. I'm so sad that your first telescope, you're telling us yesterday, got broken.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. It got broken because my own stupidity. I dropped something down the tube and hit the mirror and it cracked it. But it's still usable. I've got a much better telescope since, but yeah. I won't ever throw this telescope away because it's got so much personal memories for me.
So you were schooled where?
I was schooled in Liverpool at originally Morrison Boys School in Rose Lane, which then became Quarry Bank Comprehensive School. And that's where I sort of got into the heavier type of music.
And then you moved off.
Yes, I trained to become a teacher. I went to Padgate College, where I met Sandra, my wife. And we met at Padgate College, and I spent 3 years there from 1972 to 1975. And this was a great era for music. This was a time of the year when there was concerts of everybody, everywhere. In the Isle of Man, even. So me and my friend David Averton, we decided, let's go and see, for instance, Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Oh, yeah.
Or Elton John, or King Crimson, or Roxy Music, all these bands. How do we get tickets? That's difficult. I tell you what, why don't we see if we can get 50 tickets and hire a coach? Challoners coaches. I don't even know if they still exist in Warrington. So we got a coach and we got the tickets. And because we bought 50 tickets, we got a discount. Not a huge, but we got sort of 50p off of the equivalent. So the Musical Appreciation Society of Padgate College was born. And we went to see anybody and everybody we could. We didn't get to see Led Zeppelin. That was my one regret. Never saw Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd. But we saw, as I say, Emerson, Lake and Palmer. We saw Elton John. We saw Roxy Music, Focus, King Crimson, you name it. We saw Neil Young. He wasn't very good, actually. It was a lousy concert, that one, in Liverpool. Memories. But it was great fun, and we really enjoyed it. But by this time, I was never a long-haired layabout. I was never into long... I never had any long hair. I was going bald from a very early age. But I got heavily into progressive rock. I loved The Nice. Rondo by The Nice. Very tough choice whether to have Rondo on my next song, because I just loved anything Keith Emerson did. But then I heard this singer, and we went to see them in concert. I mentioned them a moment ago. And this guy's voice, you heard my song yesterday, which was Nights in White Satin, very distinctive voice of Justin Hayward. Well, this next singer, fantastic song, probably a song that not many people know, but my next song is from King Crimson, and it's the song Epitaph.
silence drowns the screams. Confusion will be my epitaph as I cross.
I feel.
My Tunes on Manx Radio. Morning show with me, Mark Tiley. My guest all this week is Howard Parkin, BSc, B.Ed., F.R.A.S. Can I put anything else on there? Is there room for more?
I'm too embarrassed. No, delete all that.
Cadbury CDM, get in
there.
That's
the one.
Get that on there.
I could sing that.
Cycling proficiency test.
I've got my cycling proficiency test. And I've also got the floppy record by Cadbury's of Choose the Juice Calls Hazelnuts and Give Those Nuts a Crunch.
I don't doubt it. And that's our next choice of music. Let's going back to the university days, what was so exciting, because we're similar ages, was the university circuit for bands was incredibly vibrant.
Amazing.
So when they were coming up, every university, literally in college across the country, were putting on these bands.
Oh, yeah.
And you could go and see bands before they broke big time.
That's right. Wings is a classic example. They weren't with us, but that's a classic example of how Paul McCartney set up Wings, just turned up at a college.
Did it.
You mind if we do a gig?
Yeah.
And they did.
And
wow.
Just did it.
Yeah.
I remember the Stranglers popping up just as a warm-up for a massive tour. Just popped up at a college down the road from me. Yeah. I think it was about £2.50 or something like that. Just go in. Unbelievable.
Man, a pint was only a quid then as well.
tell that to the younger generation. They'll laugh at you.
They will.
You met your lovely lady wife at college.
I did indeed. We both met at Padgate. We were both in the same year. We didn't do the same subjects, but we both met at college. Her surname, my wife's maiden name, is Parkinson. And my surname is Parkin, of course, so we met at the pigeonholes under the stairs where we collected each other's mail.
Oh, you see, you couldn't make this up.
You couldn't make this up.
So when did you sort of return to astronomy in a bigger way?
I can tell you exactly when I returned to astronomy. It was in 1985. I went to Padgate College, as I mentioned before, met my wife there, we got married and all the rest. But I really wanted to teach. So one day, we had children, we got married in 1975, and in 1985, there was a lot of circumstances going on. I thought, you know, I really wish I could have taught. So I went along to the Alaman College, as it was then, and I said to Bev Sharp, the head of adult education, I said, can I come and teach and possibly get my probation a year out of the way? Because I would really like to go into teaching. That's what I trained to do. Oh, no, you can't teach geography, which was my subject, or physical education. Believe it or not, I was a PE teacher, folks. Nobody believes me anymore, but never mind.
No smiling here.
You're just rolling under the desk. So Bev said to me, have you any hobbies you used to have? I says, well, I used to know quite a bit about astronomy. It fascinated me, astronomy and spaceflight. Just the job, he says. Halley's Comet's coming round the end of 1985. How do you fancy teaching astronomy? I thought, yeah, OK, go on. Didn't know as much about it as I thought I did. And I committed to doing it. And I remember after the first year, really struggling. They always say, as long as you know a little bit more than what the people know you're teaching. But there were some very clever folks in that class. So I did a degree. I did a degree in astronomy with the Open University. And I've progressed ever since then. And now I get to talk about it all over the world. And it's a great privilege and something I fully enjoy doing.
And there's no end to the learning, is there?
No, absolutely not.
Like the universe itself.
I learned something only yesterday. I was doing a talk for the Astronomical Society. It was last week now. And everyone knows the furthest object visible to the naked eye is the Andromeda Galaxy M31, which is 2.5 million light years away.
Right.
No, it isn't.
Okay.
M33 in Triangulum is just about visible to the naked eye, and that has recently been discovered to be 2.7 million light years away. So now you know.
You're not going to get there in a hurry, though, are you?
No. A bit of useless trivia.
I was going to talk about something that was on the news a few weeks ago about some magnetic pulsing or something, two black holes colliding. They're all getting excited on the news and all this
Indeed.
Stuff.
Indeed. This is fantastic stuff, and this is something I'll be talking about on Judith's show, because this is really stuff, because for the layman, and excuse me for describing everyone as the layman, but for people who've just got a very peripheral interest in astronomy, if you've got two objects, and we'll say one is 10 times the mass of a Rolls-Royce, we'll say. And one is 15 times the mass of a Rolls-Royce. And they combine together. They don't make two Rolls-Royces. They make two Rolls-Royces, but a bit left over. Mm-hmm. And that bit left over is gravitational waves. It's not even energy. It's gravitational waves. It's this brand new substance, if you like, or thing in the universe that Einstein predicted back in the 1920s. It's the 20s now, good Lord. And 100 years ago, and now we're detecting these features which were only postulated by Einstein. And basically, as I say, the proper figures, if you get 58 solar masses adding to 60 solar masses, should make 118. No, it makes 113. Five masses of the sun lost in gravitational waves.
I'm going to ask a much simpler question about this tomorrow.
Let's have our next choice.
That'll learn you.
Let's have our next choice.
Yeah, well, this one, when you asked me to produce four songs for you, I immediately thought of the four songs we've got, actually. It didn't take much time. But this one is a special song for me and Sandra in particular, because when I was at college and I was in the Isle of Man and she lived in Manchester, I worked on the MER. And I was a conductor on the MER. Best job I've ever had. Wonderful job, that. And, of course, we were away from each other for about 6 weeks. And so when we went to discos and went to dances and all the rest, we played this song and we always heard it. And we still, to this day, love this song. It's The 3 Degrees, When Will I See You Again?
Final My Tunes for this week with my guest, who has teased us with black holes, with gravitational pulsations, all sorts. Howard Parkin, astronomer to this island. And thank you for joining us here.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
I asked far too difficult questions earlier on and got myself in a right old twist. Here's an easy one. Are we ever going to travel faster than light and get to these stars?
That's two questions. No and yes.
Okay.
We're not going to travel faster than the speed of light. Current physics fear and will not allow us to exceed the speed of light.
But then we can't go into Star Wars and Star Trek and get there.
You can't travel at warp factor. Beam me up, Scotty!
Can't do it.
That was wrong.
You can't do it, you think?
You can't do it. You can't do it because the laws of physics will not permit it.
You cannot change the laws of physics.
You can't change the laws of physics!
Is that right?
That's much better. But no, you can't travel faster than light. If you do, as you accelerate towards the faster of light, your mass increases exponentially, and as a result, you get heavier and heavier. You need more mass, you need more energy, etc., etc. That's current modern physics.
Right.
Who knows what we will discover in the future.
So getting to the stars, we've got to go fast asleep and wait.
Yeah. Or we send robotic spacecraft and we wait 20 years. There's talk now of using various spacecraft. The problem isn't getting there. We can accelerate spacecraft. The nearest star is 4 light-years away. So if we can accelerate a spacecraft, we'll say to half the speed of light. It would only take 8 years to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've got to slow it down when you get to the other end.
Or
and
not.
That's the problem.
We'll
or
take
not.
A couple of pictures and keep
well,
moving.
You'd be going so fast, you wouldn't even get a picture. Whoop, gone.
Oh, okay.
I mean, so that's the big problem. The way we explore space is, first thing we do is a flyby, then we do an orbit, then we do a lander, then we send men or women. And that's where we're up to with the various spacecraft going around the solar system at the moment. New Horizons went past Pluto in 2018, was it? 2018? Whereas 40 years ago, we flew past Mars for the first time. So in 40 years' time, we've gone from one of the closest planets to the furthest object in our solar system.
We started this week talking about how both of us were inspired by the space race,
indeed,
the landing on the moon. I think, looking at what's happening, the next generation of kids are going to see their first landing, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're going to see it happening
again. I am
again.
Confident we're going to get to Mars. Yeah. I reckon there's a real hunger, there's a real thirst for it now. Unlike previous attempts to go back to the moon, for instance, which as soon as one president went in, the next one kicked it into touch. They've gone so far now, and they've committed so much to the Artemis project, NASA. And the Chinese are keep doing sorts of things with space as well. So there's an almost a space race going on at the moment between the Chinese and the rest of the world, if you like. And I really think we will go back to the moon, probably not by 2025, which was the original claim by Pence, the Vice President of the United States, but probably by 27 or 28, and that's just going to be a stepping stone to Mars.
Yeah. We talked about you being our astronomer, but you are in exceptional demand all over the world. You're a busy man talking about this.
I know, and it was never a career ambition or anything. It just happened by pure chance. In fact, I blame my mother-in-law. As we went back to a few days ago, I spoke about doing an astronomy degree. That changed my career in that I changed jobs and went to work for Manx National Heritage because you had to be a graduate. And so that got me into that. And whilst I was never a curator and one of the people in the museum, the curators, I did do some astronomy work. I started expanding my college work to doing occasional lectures for them. And then one day, out of the blue, my mother-in-law was 90. Well, we knew she was coming to be 90. And we decided, the family, Sandra's sister and my brother-in-law live in the Isle of Man as well, and we would take her on a cruise. We'd take her on a cruise summer because she loved cruising. Where should we go? Should we go to the Caribbean? Now I've been there. Should we go to the Mediterranean? No, done that. Should we go to the United States? Now I've been across the Atlantic. How about Norway? Okay, we'll go to Norway. So we went to Norway. Very quickly realised that going to Norway in March, Northern Lights, Aurora, ooh. So I offered my services as a lecturer. They said, no, you've got to go to an agent. So I went to the agent down in Brighton, and I did my Aurora lecture, which I had been doing at the college and I'd been doing at the museum, places like that. And, you know, I played a song. I played them a song, which isn't my music choice. I played them the song Northern Lights by Renaissance.
Oh, lovely song,
in the
song.
Middle
yeah.
of my lecture.
Yeah.
The boss of the organisation came running out as I was doing the audition. Who's playing that song and why? And, of course, he was mesmerised. Got taken on board as one of their lecturers on board, the organisation, the agency, and I got allocated different cruises. First one I got offered was to Hawaii. I mean, how could I turn that down?
What a nuisance for you.
It was terrible. It was awful. But the great thing of it is obviously I can take Sandra with me.
Yeah.
So we've been all over the world now. And I think I'd like to say that I've done more and more lectures all over the world, to different places, different organisations. It's a privilege.
Yeah.
Yes, at the moment we're not doing it, but I've got about four or five cruises. I've lost four or five in 2020 so far. But I've got about another half dozen lined up between 2021 and 2022. The cruise industry will return, but not just yet, I'm afraid. One of the things you can do on a cruise ship, you see, you stand up, you get to the theatre, we'll say 10 minutes early, and they're always playing music. And I realised quite early on, you could play any sort of music you like. So I'd play David Bowie, or I'd play anything with the slightest space link. And then I had an inspiration. It hit me literally like a bolt of lightning. What can you talk about a satellite in orbit around the world? And I thought, what on earth can I talk about? Zig Sputnik? No, that doesn't work. I mean, as I say, it hit me like a bolt of lightning. And my last song for my tunes is Telstar by the Tornadoes.
Here it is. And Howard, thank you.
Thank you.
Many thanks to my guest all this week on the My Tunes podcast, none other than Howard Parkin. Keep coming back here to manxradio.com, the podcasts, for many more, all sorts. You name it, they're on here. Subscribe if you like, and then you'll never miss one. I'll be back with more, and don't forget the morning show, brought to you by Shore Isle of Man, every morning, weekdays 9:30 to 12, with me, Mark Tiley.